All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Movie Talks and Chill. We're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrano.
I'm Gavin Buss.
I'm Patrick Wall.
And in this episode, before we get into what we're going to be talking about, some ideas or movies we've recently watched.
Before we tell you that story, we want to tell you this story.
Yeah, we want to tell you another story first. So if you guys remember, last week we had Mr. Nick Roth on with us. Awesome guy. Very fun.
Very cool. Very laid back. Yep. Really, really good interview with him.
Yep. And so we had sent out a follow-up email, you know, to all our guests, you know, to thank them for joining, and, you know, to get their links so we can put it on our post when we post out their episode through our social media. But if you guys remember, after the interview with Nick, we had the last part of the podcast was us kind of talking about the interview, what we thought and everything. And then also Patrick had some questions, and we had some questions for Nick as well, more like technical ones, or time, about the time frame and technicality about
and it was just stuff that
the editing and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not like we didn't touch on them during the interview. It's just I had additional questions and I didn't want to eat up too much of those times.
And this just goes into how technical and how long he's been in the biz. Yes. He sent us a dissertation, which is awesome.
So he answered my questions in detail.
So we actually listened to the whole his whole episode, including when he wasn't on at the end with us, and actually answered a lot of the questions in there.
Yeah.
Do you have
I pulled it up. So he answered two of the questions. One of them, like, I asked, like, you know, this movie was in edit for a few years, and I was wondering if that was standard operating practice or maybe it was just time constraints. And he did say that the movie actually took 7 years to edit, partly for the creative reasons that we talked about in the interview, but partly because it was the pandemic and had two kids and all the fun stuff. So life does seem like it gets involved.
Life finds a way.
And he also,
I did not want to say that, but thank you.
And I believe it was it that part of it, or was it the second part? He was also talking about being on the, you know, the show and everything, the TV show. So he was also working, and that's kind of what I was saying. It's like, like this is our full time job yet, but. At some point, but because of that, you know, you can only spend so much time doing that as well, because you have to make your other money too.
Yeah. So the other question I asked was just about, like, just because I don't know the movie industry, and I was wondering why he couldn't, like, look at any of the footage until they captured everything after a month in a cabin in Utah. And he said the camera that they were using is a D16 and is super ISO. That's a word I don't know how to say.
Spell it out.
Use your words.
Idiosyncratic. But it shoots not to removable cards, but to an internal hard drive. So you literally have to transfer everything off, back up that stuff, and then erase the original on the internal drive so then you can shoot a certain amount. The model we were using let us shoot about 90 minutes before needing to dump it. So that had to happen twice a day. The files themselves are big, you know, that, you know, you're shooting a movie. It's not like you're downloading, you know, the Ariana Grande song.
Yeah. And they're coming out in high def or 4K or whatever style it came out in. So that also increases the file size.
So that had to happen twice a day. The files themselves were big and actually in a separate image file for every single frame. Those did have to eventually be renamed, but I used a program called Rename to batch rename them all. That did take a few weeks because I just lost my space because I don't know if you've noticed I'm wearing my glasses and I really do need to go to the optometrist. It takes a few weeks, so we are talking about literally more than 2 million files only after renaming them, that like we could actually import them to Adobe Premiere and start seeing you manipulating the footage. But again, that doesn't account why it took 7 years. That was mostly because I got a job on a TV show, and then we had to do it in our spare time, and I also had no idea what I was doing. And then the pandemic and two kids. Hope that clarifies all that. And it does, Nick. Thank you very much for following up.
Yep. So think about the number when he was saying how many files.
Yeah, over a million.
Yeah. So that's what I was talking about. Like, it breaks it down to segments and frames and whatever the time frame. I think I've heard of the program he's talking about, which does make things a lot easier. Obviously, it still takes time. Yeah,
but I'm assuming that program, you just turn it on and you say, on this folder, rename everything. And then 3 hours later, you have a million
and frames. And it probably, if I remember correctly, I'm not 100%, but if I remember correctly, it should allow you to choose like the time frame of each segment. So like you could break it down to seconds, you know, break it down to minutes, whatever you want to do. I'm pretty sure it asks you that too.
Yeah.
So, yep. editing is the fun thing about editing. A lot of people think, yeah, it takes a long time, but the harder thing is all the pre-prep to begin editing. So you're not just, like I said, you're not just throwing that out 90 minutes, 2 hours worth of footage and be like, all right, let me just cut Here's this up now real quick. Yeah. So yeah, it takes time. But
think about in the olden days when you know, they just had guys in film rooms just cutting.
Well, that's why it's still called the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
See, I know shit. Not a lot.
I know some things.
He knows shit. He just can't see shit.
I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
I can unfortunately still see it. I just smell it before I can see it at this point.
So again, Nick, thank you very much for listening and then really doing that solid follow up. So that was really cool.
Really appreciate it.
Yep.
Absolutely. Now and hey, look, you got to read an email on the air.
Yeah.
You got an email.
Woohoo! So the contest is over. All you slackers.
All you slackers.
All of a sudden, Gmail's going to be flooded.
Ding, 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 ding.
But now I get to pick and choose which ones I read on air. It's not automatic.
We're going to make you read spam.
Yeah. Look, this company wants to give us a very high interest credit card rate.
Yeah.
For $3.99.
Indigo MasterCard.
Actually, it's an express card, so as long as you pay it off in the month, the interest doesn't hit.
Yeah.
The interest rate is 35%.
No, I think our first one was Discover.
Oh. A fly-by-night credit card. Yeah,
I will take pennies in the amount less than your bill.
Yeah.
I think you'll just go, no. You will stand there and listen to all the other things that I will accept outside of your fly-by-night credit card.
Yes.
I just love how Lois from the back is like, oh, they're part of that exclusive group called Anybody. What is it? Oh, he's got a Discover card out here, Lois.
That's better than getting a Diner's Club. Does that thing even exist anymore?
Does Diner's Club card exist? I have no idea.
Because you used to hear about it all the time.
Yeah.
They even brought it up in a... Remember when he said, in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, he's like,
don't steal home without it.
What are you carrying on you? What kind of posse do you? He's like, I got a Diners Club card. And what was the other one? It was just some membership thing to something. Mm-hmm.
Jelly of the Month Club?
No, it wasn't the Jelly of the Month Club. But yeah, I think it was Dell. It was John Candy's character, Dell Griffith. He when he was asking, he's like, no, I got it. Or no, it was at first it was Steve Martin. He's the one who had the Diners Club card. And then the other one, he's like, I got a membership to something. He's like, great, great stuff. Unfortunately, it does us no good out here. Because it was like some sporting good thing or something. Or hunting and sporting goods or something. Great stuff. It just does us no good here. Yeah. All right, so... But real quick,
Gavin, you were talking about Lois, who is voiced by Alex Borstein on the show Family Guy. And I was watching a show that recently made it onto Netflix called Resident Alien, and she's in it. If you have not seen Resident Alien starring Alan Tudyk, it is on Netflix, and I highly suggest you go see it. It is amazing.
I think he just turned 50.
Oh, did he?
This week.
Nice. Happy birthday, Alan Tudyk.
Happy birthday to you.
I'll check just to make sure.
Yeah, don't lie to us.
I know.
He's going to be sending us an email. It's not my 50th. I'm 48.
A scathing email.
It's like when you tell Patrick he's almost 40. He's like, I'm not.
March 16th.
It's March. That's what I said. It was last month.
Uh-oh. Well, happy belated.
He also turned 50 3 years ago.
All right.
Well, I saw some bullshit on some Facebook.
So this is a lot of misinformation there, Gavin.
Fake news. That's all I know.
You look 50. Yeah, even if you're 53, you look 50.
Motherfucker, you look 50.
Yeah. So happy belated, Mr. Tudyk.
Yes. So on to this episode. Gavin, you're the one who came up with the idea, so tell us
what we're doing. So we're going back through some movies that we've recently watched in our downtime and kind of giving a little review on that. No actual homework assignments, but, just as we do enjoy movies, we like to talk about them as we watch them. So I got to watch Dune 2, which I thought was very good. I kind of feel like the ending was kind of a little bit anticlimactic, but I understand why.
Well, they're setting up for a third one.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the beauty with, I think, what they're taking on this Dune series is the first Dune movie that came out in the 80s.
Was it just one?
I thought it aired as a single.
Yeah, but it was 3 hours long.
Yeah, it was a 3-hour movie, but they still, like, they still missed so much in there. Like, they jammed everything in there. Yeah. I mean, they missed all pretty much all of the fighting that happened.
Came out in 84.
84, yeah. Okay.
But it does star my my best personal best friend.
Sting?
Kyle McLanahan. He's from
Twin Peaks. He's your best friend, but you can't pronounce his name?
Yep.
Okay.
Best friends for life, right? Yeah. Or die.
Was this also not the birthplace of Jean-Luc Picard?
Yes. Well, I don't know if they say birthplace, but you know.
Well, I know him as Special Agent Dale Cooper. That's what I call him.
Fine.
He knows that name, but not his actual name. He can't pronounce his actual name.
My American tongue doesn't speak Scottish that well. I'm sorry.
Scottish. The film does a really good job of kind of showing, without giving anything away, whereas in the early film, Shawnee was like fully with Paul. Mm-hmm. It was like she followed him, you know, no matter what. And whereas this one, she was kind of like, she didn't believe that he was the Kwisatz Haderach or the, mm-hmm. what was that? Sean Azil Gaib or whatever.
Space Jesus.
Yeah, Space Jesus. he wasn't the second coming. So like the whole movie, even now she loves him, but the whole movie she's like fighting that because she doesn't want her people to get used for some massive holy war, which happens anyway. Spoiler alert!
Have you read the books?
I have not.
Okay. I have neither. I was just asking because... I know the first movie from the 80s is the entire first book. And these three movies are the entire first book, too.
So what they're doing is they're doing, like, the chapter set, though. Mm. And they're... So the first one is essentially the fall of Arrakis. Mm. Now is the build-up of the whole army of Arrakis and taking on the galaxy. And then after that is, like, the... What they're coming out with is the actual war.
Mm. Gotcha. But... Has he tamed the sand worm yet?
Yes.
Okay. Now I haven't. Now
it's
I have
been tamed.
Reason.
It's been tamed.
I now have a reason to watch it.
Spoiler alert.
is that code for something?
No, you actually.
I know.
Okay.
Is that what they're calling it now? Yeah.
not really spoiling anything. This is a remake of a movie from 49 years ago. 39 years ago.
Thank you.
Wait, you said 84, right?
Yeah. So 39. It's 35.
No. It'd be 40.
39.
This is 24.
39.
Yep, 40.
Fuck off, 39.
It's 40.
It didn't come out until August of that year.
So doesn't matter.
Still hasn't turned.
Still came 40. Out
hey,
in the year.
We're in an A month.
Oh, he's breaking it down because he doesn't, yeah.
He's like, wait, if I carry that, shut up.
Let me do math.
No, it's 39. No, it's 40.
Dude, I hit 40 before you, so don't worry about it.
By Patrick's math, it's 39. By normal human math, it's 40.
By Patrick's math, it's 29. I now understand why my mom was 29 for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. All right.
How old is your son? 48 months. That's 4.
Do you want to go next or you want me to go?
You can go next.
Okay, so I've been revisiting like just old school stuff. Mm-hmm. But
well, I know every time we come over, you're watching The Sopranos.
Yeah, but that's more TV. So, but... In honor of the Masters that's been going on.
You watch golf. Happy Gilmore?
I watched Happy Gilmore, Caddyshack, Tin Cup, and guess what the last one is? It's not a comedy.
The Greatest Game?
No. Legend of Bagger Vance.
That's the
Legend,
one.
Okay.
That's a good one. I actually
that's like a great that movie. Yeah.
But Tin Cup, out of that list, I think has to be my favorite.
Mr. Jonah. Mr. Jonah. You can see it. You got it.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, Caddyshack and Happy Gilmore are amazing movies, but Tin Cup, to Kevin Costner in that movie is just fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, I don't know, Caddyshack kind of tops it for me.
And also, oh, it's like comparing apples to oranges.
Because,
you got different styles of
exactly.
movies there.
And Tin Cup is more like funny serious.
Yeah.
Whereas Caddyshack is just wacky serious. I mean, wacky funny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's you know, essentially a National Lampoon's movie.
Yeah.
Or could easily have been.
Well, I mean, because it was directed by Harold Ramis. Mm-hmm. And that was when he was working with the Lampoon. Actually, Caddyshack was the second movie that the guys that started the Lampoon did.
Mm-hmm.
Or that was one that he wrote. I can't remember his name. They did the movie on him as well. But the one of the two founders of the National Lampoon's thing, mm-hmm. Harold Ramis was part of that team. And so he wrote, because originally they did, you know, Animal House was the first one, right. And Caddyshack, he did the next one. Unfortunately, Caddyshack, I don't believe, did as well in the theaters because it was going up against another big blockbuster movie. I'm trying to think when that came out, what year. As soon as I know the year, then I'll be able to tell you probably what movie it was going up against here.
Harry Met Sally?
Probably. 1980.
Okay, so 1980. What was going on in 1980? Come on, Tony. One of my favorite decades, Tony.
Froggy took a road and he hit Camel.
Let's see here. 1980 movies. Let's pull this up real quick. Not the bad ones. Let's get Cannibal Holocaust. I don't think it was lost to that.
Ooh, yeah.
Eaten Alive, Island. These are popular 80s movies? No, there was one big one that came out, and I think they just couldn't compete with it. I'm trying to figure out which one it was. It wasn't Blue Lagoon.
So movies, this?
Oh, go ahead.
The movies that came out in July of 1980, which is Caddyshack came out in July 27th.
Okay.
So we have Cheech and Chong, next movie.
It wouldn't have been
Used Cars, Dressed to Kill, Bodyguard, Prom Night, Battle Beyond the Stars, which looks dope. I had to look into that one. I can't. How to stop this phone? How to beat the high cost of living? Oh, I've got to see that and see if that actually works. Honeysuckle Rose.
Honeysuckle Rose.
Monstroid.
Yeah, that didn't. That wasn't it, battling it.
Little Dragons.
I don't think it was that.
The Awakening.
Contamination.
The Exterminator.
Virus.
Raise the Titanic.
Raise the Titanic.
Huh? Hangar 18. Hex. Breaking Glass.
Maniac.
Heroes Shed No Tears.
It's no crying in baseball.
I don't know why.
The Sea Wolves and the Earthling.
Yeah, that's none of those would have beat out Caddy. But there was something they were going up against. But it's for some reason, again, it didn't do that well, as well as they wanted it to. I mean, it did okay, but it became more popular later on when it became, you know, it was on TV. That's, you know,
Urban Cowboy.
Urban Cowboy.
Had that been Urban Cowboy.
Yeah, had to be.
Yeah.
I was thinking Humanoids from the Deep took it.
You couldn't beat out Travolta at that time.
Well, Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980. I just don't know what month. But you got to remember, too, movies back then stayed in theaters for like 6-7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked up to see what came out in August to see if, like, something.
When did the Empire come out? What actual month? I know it came out in 1980. Because that might have been one of the problems right there.
Shogun Assassin.
Because that movie was insanely popular when it first came out.
This movie came out May 1980. Okay. Oh, that was Dominion Theater, May 21st in U.S. So okay. May 21st.
Okay. But it was probably still in the theaters, I mean,
yeah,
up until August. So.
Well, August had Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Okay. That could be a problem. Because Smokey and the Bandit 1 was pretty good.
Yes, it was.
And that's the only big name that came out in August.
So, yeah.
But August is technically a dump month, isn't it?
Yeah, if I remember, that was one of the dump months. So they're probably like, let's just hope for the best on this one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to go back and see Cannibal Holocaust.
I've seen it. It's not great.
Oh.
All right. You should watch, actually, Humanoids from the Deep.
Okay.
That one's a little bit more your speed there. I think you'd enjoy that one a whole lot more.
Female nudity.
But I also got onto, because, you know, I also do watch, we all watch TV shows as well, the new seasons of Star Trek Discovery came out, or the new episodes from the new season, and so they got me on like a Star Trek kick.
Oh, nice.
And so I've been going back and watching like The Voyage Home, Wrath of Khan, the good ones.
Yeah.
Basically, 2, 3, and 4 are considered like really the Star Trek trilogy, because they all tie in together. Because in Wrath of Khan, that's at the end when Spock dies. Search for Spock was the third one, was that follows immediately after the second one, and then the fourth one follows immediately after the third one.
Yeah, because they're flying home on a Klingon bird of prey. Yeah.
So that one they consider just like a nice little trilogy.
When they were communicating with the whales, right?
Yeah. Well, they had to get the whales to come back.
Right.
They had to bring the whales back because that's what they attributed was the sounds that probe was making that was causing all the damage and everything to Earth. So get the whales.
Save the whales.
But I've been going back on those kicks.
They're real subtle in their messaging for that movie.
Well, because if you think about it, the original motion picture one, that was, well, not a big failure too, but The Wrath of Khan was supposed to be set like a little while later. Mm. And then after the fourth one, after Voyage Home, the fifth movie was set a little bit after Voyage Home. That was one of the worst ones, in my opinion. That was one where it was the final frontier, where they were basically almost going to find like God, basically. That's, I think, what they were looking for.
I think they just got... Christopher Lloyd is not a very good con. Oh, Admiral Kirk, you don't want to give me the Genesis device? Okay, don't.
He's basically taking his Reverend Jim from Taxi personality and putting it. He wasn't the worst, though, but if you go back, it's interesting when you watch the Star Trek movies, which, by the way, the sixth one, Undiscovered Country, that one was pretty good. If you go back and watch those and you really realize all the other, like all those side people that played in them, like not the main cast, but when they would have, and you're like, oh shit, that's so like Christopher Lloyd. You know, played the Klingon. You had, she was in Undiscovered Country. It was, oh my God, I can't think of her name from Sex and the City.
Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, not Sarah Jessica Parker, the Samantha character. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name off the top of my head. She was in Every 80 Mannequin and
Big Trouble Little China.
Big Trouble Little China. Carell.
Steve.
No.
No.
Cottrell.
Yeah, Kim Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall. Yeah, there you go. And then they had... We got there. Just give me a word and we'll work off it. Right. Use your words. And then Kirstie Alley was in the... I believe it was the second one, The Wrath of Khan. She was playing the Vulcan that was taking the Kobayashi Maru test that Spock was administering. Mm-hmm. And then she was asking, you know, what... Basically inquiring about it. He's like, you know, that's not... The point of the test is... It's a no-win situation. It's just to try to make the best decision you can as a captain. But then that's when the whole big storyline about Kirk cheating it came about. You know, and then obviously when J.J. Abrams did the new Star Trek series, they showed how he cheated it too. So, but yeah, you go back and you watch those and you're like, oh, that person was in it. That person was in it. That person's in it.
It's like anybody who works on a Star Trek show, you can see him in every other... Like, if Gene Roddenberry likes you, you are now a character in every Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, Tuvok from Voyager is in, like, three other Star Trek. He just doesn't have a lead role.
Yeah.
Which one was it that had also young Picard?
What do you mean, young Picard?
So, like, they... someone had cloned...
That was... Insurrection. Was it maybe Insurrection?
The young Picard was played by Tom Hardy, a very young Tom Hardy.
Was it in the movie? Or are you talking about? Yeah, they cloned him, but he was actually like half Romulan or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
was that TV show?
It was no, that was in the movie. That was either Insurgents or Insurrection. I can't remember because they had Generations, then First Contact. The next one was not. I was not a fan of. That was the one where basically they were observing that planet because of the Prime Directive. They weren't allowed to get involved, but then they get found and, you know, Data ends up...
Beheaded.
Yeah. hang on a second. Let me pull it up real quick because I know which one it is.
That's because they find the guy who built Data in that movie. But I will say, out of the Next Generation movies, First Contact is my favorite. I love that movie.
Oh, absolutely. Nemesis. Star Trek Nemesis.
That was the one with the Romulans and all the green shit.
The Romulans cloned Kirk, but he was like the guy, or not Kirk, Picard. And he was like basically half Romulan, but half human, but he had that illness, and that's why they needed Picard, because he needed his like blood. DNA and stuff like that, and they were going to be working to get him back to normal.
But that would have killed Picard.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah,
well,
There can be only one.
The greatest weakness of humans is we're filled with blood. It instantly
turned into a Highlander.
The greatest weakness about humans is we're filled with blood. Yeah. If all the blood's on the outside, we die.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
But it happens. But you mean I got to keep all this blood in me?
This is weird. How am I 80% water and still can't swim?
That's where the term bleeding out comes from. Well,
they put it best in... in a good place. Ted Danson's like, I can kill them. It's really easy. They're just meat and goo. Get rid of the goo when they die.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I've been going back, revisiting those. Obviously not all of them, but those three, because I enjoy watching that as a series going through. Trying to think of what else I've been.
I've just been running
the gambit on movies lately.
I went back this week, and I don't know what sparked it. I think it was probably something that came up on Instagram about crocodiles and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But
are you the guy who was watching Crocodile?
Yes, I watched one and two. I didn't watch the third one in L.A. that was done in the 90s.
Who watched that one?
Not me.
That wasn't me. But I mean, I don't think I even knew there was one in L.A. I knew they had. I knew the first two.
The first one's in New York City.
And then the second one, they go back to.
The first one is Walkabout Creek, and then they come back to New York City.
Yeah.
You're in Australia and New York City in both of them.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because but in the second one, he's now living in New York with her, and then he goes back.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of reversed. Mm. She goes over there to get him, brings him over to New York, then he stays in New York, then goes, brings her back to Australia. It's a whole big thing.
To hide from the Colombians.
And by the way, did you see... And I don't think it's even available yet, but it came out like years ago. It's basically the movie about Crocodile Dundee's son. It's got Danny McBride.
So it's not a movie. It was a PSA to get people to go to Australia.
Okay.
And that's all
it was. I remember
but
that.
It was they did it as like so Chris Hemsworth was supposed to be Wally's son.
Okay, yeah,
And
Danny McBride was the croc son.
And he gets off the bus. He's like, "You're Mick Dundee." He's like, "Yes." How many times are you saying, "You no, seriously?" He's like, "Yeah," because you know you got Chris Hemsworth, just beast, and then he got Danny McBride, the quintessential American, you know, dad.
Yeah, I saw that someone had posted it, so I guess I read it, and there was like that trailer thing, but I was like, is this actually a movie?
They got asked, I guess the story never wasn't written that way, and I don't know if it just fell through or they didn't want to sign on to it, but it was essentially just a PSA for Australia, to come visit Australia.
Because I remember watching that, like, I don't want a fourth one, but damn it, I want to see this movie. And then at the end, it's like, come visit Australia. It's like, fuck you. Give me that movie.
They may have pushed it through, but I don't remember any kind of theatrical release on it. So
they should have made it more. They should have made it like a Tropic Thunder type thing. Yeah. Bring all those guys back in.
The best movie about a movie never written.
Well, because you remember in Tropic Thunder, you know, Robert Downey's character was technically supposed to be Australian.
Oh, yeah.
He was an Australian actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had one part for a black man, gave it to Crocodile Dundee. Easy, man. That boy's a national treasure.
You people are crazy. What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people?
Well, what about you, Patrick? What have you been watching?
So I've watched, a movie and a half.
A movie and a half?
Wow. So I started watching one movie with Dwayne The Rock Johnson called Skyscraper. This movie is terrible. But it's basically The Rock plays a security consultant, and the tallest building in the world is now in Hong Kong. And terrorists take it over. He's outside the building, but his family is inside the building. So he has to break into the skyscraper to go help them. To get into the building, he climbs a giant construction crane that's on the building next door. And then he runs and jumps into the burning building to save his family. Hmm. That's where I stopped watching. This movie is absolute garbage. But I'm assuming if The Rock has it... So the same line in his contract that he does in the Fast and the Furious movies, he did not lose the fight. No. I know this answer.
It's like Die Hard meets Ladder 49.
He's basically almost a firefighter. In the worst way possible.
But if you're watching that movie, the concession stand people have a like a memorandum that they have to drizzle Z-Quil onto your popcorn. Because this movie is going to put you to fucking sleep. and then I actually watched a good movie called The Accountant with Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Tony, have you seen this movie?
I have.
Okay. This is the first time I watched it, and I was genuinely impressed in how much I like this movie. If you haven't seen it, Ben Affleck is a contract killer, but he's also a savant accountant because he has...
Technically, he's not a contract killer. Hmm. He's the accountant. His training has only made him able... to do the killing because of the clientele that he's with. He's never taken a job to assassinate anybody. Mm. He's only done the jobs to go like clean up books and stuff. Yeah. But take you out.
For cartels and stuff.
For the worst kind of people.
And he has Asperger's syndrome, so he's on the
spectrum.
The spectrum. Thank you. And basically, he goes to investigate the books of this $1 billion company that's owned by John Lithgow. He finds that someone has took $7 million. So John Lithgow has him killed by a professional killer, a.k.a. his brother, because their dad like raised them to be just straight-up badasses. Because this was back, like, no kid of mine's going to therapy. So
yeah.
So he was like,
if he doesn't like loud noises and bright lights, he should get more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Because that helps.
Yeah. So he trained them both to just be straight up killers. And the brother who was played by the guy who played the Punisher in the Marvel movies show.
It was
in
Walking Dead. Yeah. Shane from there.
Apologies. I cannot remember your name at this time. But so basically, John Lithgow is going to have this accountant at the firm that he owns killed, and Ben Affleck just likes her because she's the only person who's actually taken the time to try and get to know him. So, you know, he has to go in and stop John Lithgow by putting a bullet in his head, which he does.
Pow!
But in the middle of the fight, he just reconnects with his brother, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, grab lunch sometime next week? And he's like, sure, but how do I contact you? And he's like, you won't. I'll contact you. What's really funny is in the beginning of the film, you see Ben Affleck's parents taking him to like a specialist kind of school for kids on the spectrum. And he makes a friend with a very unbelievably autistic girl. And she doesn't...
It was the headmaster. That's his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she can't speak verbally. Like, she doesn't use the English, where she makes noises and that's it. So he buys her a computer and she's now his Diana. She's constantly saying...
Yeah.
Where are you going? How are you going to do this? I've changed the VIN numbers on this. You're all solid. And if you listen, like, every now and again, like, Ben Affleck will say, I got to go back and save her. And, like, and the voice will say, heavy sigh.
That's, yeah, that was the line that always got me until I realized that.
Yeah,
I thought she was
just being a bitch.
Yeah, that's I was like, who the hell says heavy sigh on the phone?
And then you realize that she's
and
just
she's typing. Yeah.
What's really fun is at the end of the movie, you're watching the headmaster talk to prospective people, you know, about dropping off their son for a few months to get some treatment and help. And the guy, the dad is in IT, and he's like, have you seen that computer? He's like, yeah, we have a very wealthy benefactors here, and they bought that computer for my daughter. And they're like, it was liquid-cooled, triple-cell processing. You're like, is it good? And they're like, you can act the Pentagon if you want. So
yeah, it's a little good.
Yeah. So Ben Affleck's like, you only trust one, because he learns all of this while he's in, I think, jail from... Okay.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
An old con artist.
Well, no, he did the books for a mob family.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how he got... He gave him the intel. But, you know, he picked up on all of the accounting stuff instantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was the conversations and the... Because, you know, you don't... These aren't the type of people you want to piss off.
Yeah, so he was actually learning how to be sociable and correct in public. And then he's like, just trust one person, and he trusted like his friend from like the institute.
And I liked the interaction between Anna Kendrick and him, like, because she's, you know, especially like when they're out there for lunch, and she's saying like, you know, my dad thinks art is something you know, dogs at a poker table. I like that. And it's like everything she says, she like turns around, she's like, yeah, I mean, not something like that. Or he's like, my dad was a real nerd, he had a pocket protector. He's like, I have a pocket protector. But yeah, yours is nice, he had a nerdy one.
I haven't got a pocket protector.
For the longest time, I thought, so J.K. Simmons is in this movie, he plays a Treasury agent that's going after Ben Affleck. In case you didn't know, Treasury does have armed service. They are the Secret Service. They do go after protecting the president and looking into, you know, bad accountants.
Mm-hmm. You're like, a bad accountant.
Well, that's usually how most mobsters get caught, is tax evasion.
Well, yeah, that's how they got
caught.
Not
murder. Murder and everything else gets pinned on them later by people rolling over. It's the tax evasion, which is weird.
Well, that's how they got Capone.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's the one paper trail we can really take on these guys. They're that good. We just get them at taxes.
Well, what was it in the Tom Cruise movie, The Firm? Like, he couldn't violate his client confidentiality. But he found a way. He's like, this is a misdemeanor bullshit crime. He's like, yes, but it does stack, and I have the evidence that all of it. So how many years are there? 75 concurrent. I'm like, okay. Yeah, we'll get him on this bullshit charge. You sure you can't roll over on him? Legally, I can't. So yeah, I've watched The Accountant, which is a really good movie. It is on Netflix. So if once again, if you're unfortunately one of the three people in the world who don't have Netflix, you buy it, rent it. It's got to be somewhere. Gavin doesn't have Netflix.
I lost my pirating ability.
I'm one of the three. Hey, raise your hand in shame.
Shame, Bill.
Although I will say, I got rid of Netflix only because until Cobra Kai and Stranger Things and Wednesday come back on, I have no desire to really... Because it's only interesting things on there for me right now.
That's fair.
I was like, why am I paying $11.99 a month to wait for these things to come out?
Yeah, I'm generally just waiting for the next season of Stranger Things, and I'm thinking about getting rid of it too, because I'm spending a lot more time on our Plex server or HBO Max or, hell, just YouTube. Like, half the time, I can't find this movie anywhere. It's on YouTube for $2? Yeah, I'll watch it.
What happens in Vegas stays on YouTube.
Yes.
Or Instagram.
Yep.
The Instagrams?
The Instagrams.
Nice.
Put it on the line instantaneously. That's Instagram. No, I get that. What I'm talking about is different.
And I know we're not a TV show podcast, but I am on episode 3 of the new Fallout series on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that is very...
It is amazing. Walton Goggins is doing a fantastic job.
I do wish that they had probably done either the new Vegas story or maybe just like Fallout 3 or 4 story. This is
so they're combining a bunch of different games.
They are, but the storyline is basically kind of like 76.
Yeah, but it also has to do with the Institute, which is from 4.
Yep.
The setting is in Southern California, which is from the first game from like 1997 or something like that.
Well, it's the Enclave now.
Oh, and you can tell I know nothing about this. I don't know anything about the
games.
It's
a video game.
Yeah.
So it takes place in a dystopian U.S. after World War III is essentially wiped out. Well, you assume everywhere, but definitely everywhere in the U.S.
Yeah.
And it takes place like 200 years after this.
Yeah. So everybody who got into a vault, which is basically a bomb shelter, has been living there for 200 years. And everyone else on the surface has been fighting for their lives against
pretty much
radioactive mutated cockroaches. Ghouls, feral ghouls, super mutants.
I do like they pulled out the Yao Guai, scene one, or episode one. Yeah. And they drop in the freaking Brotherhood of Steel and the power armor.
Yep.
that's what you get, like, mid-game. Like, you don't even see the Brotherhood of Steel until halfway through, like, especially Fallout 3.
Yeah. I will say, I think you're right along the lines of 76, because if you've ever played the video games, every vault was a psychological torture test for the inhabitants. Like, this company was just running experiments. Like, in one game, you're cryogenically frozen just to see if they could do it. The other one, there's a cloning machine, and one guy kills the headmaster and just clothes himself 30 times. His name is Gary. You can find that vault, and you just got to kill him 50 times.
Yes, you just kill Gary 500 times.
Yeah. But this one doesn't seem like there was any real psychological or testing or experimentation or anything like that. This was just people actually lived there.
Hmm.
And they hint towards incest.
Oh, lovely.
No, they don't hint.
Lovely.
The line is fooling around with your cousin is good, is all good and all, but it's not good for us for procreation.
It's more subtle than hanky panky, and
that's true.
That whipped you in the face.
That's true. Literally whipped you.
You know, one thing I bet you haven't watched.
What
is that? That documentary I told you to watch. That
I'll guarantee
1982, you I the greatest geek year ever. You would like it too.
Damn it, Patrick.
Yep, Patrick. What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
Why don't you blow your nose?
I am.
Listen here, snotty.
Yeah. Better snot mention that again.
Chasing the green rocket, are you?
Goddamn allergy season in Florida. It starts in March and ends in September.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's almost hurricane season. It's almost like hurricane season.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost close to the same path.
Even when you're not in it, you're still in it.
Yeah. That's basically June to November.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd take having to evacuate for a hurricane than days of blowing my nose constantly.
Oh.
Well, you don't have to blow your nose. You can just let it drip out.
Yeah, that'll be a good look. If we went back to just a straight audio format, I may allow that.
Take a photo of yourself for your dating profile. Just like a running nose.
Just sitting there, waterworks coming down.
This is not me crying.
It's allergies.
It's the movie The Little Giants, when the little kid like comes up walking.
He's got the bubble.
Yeah, and then just go, poop. Because his mom's so overbearing, he walks over just like wrapped in like bubble wrap and styrofoam from like U-Haul.
Yeah. I love that, man. Oh,
I love that movie.
Who doesn't love that movie?
I mean, football is 80% mental and 40% physical. What?
Well, I'll tell you another one, too. And it's not, again, it's not a movie, but it's a series. It's a documentary series that they did. It's on, I can't remember where I found it, but you've got to check it out. It's messed up. It's called Quiet on the Set.
It's on HBO Max, and I've seen the first episode.
It's all about
the people, how fucked up Nickelodeon is.
Like,
oh, yes.
How they treated the kids. Like, yeah. Some of them were like molesters and stuff, yeah. And sexual assaulters. And I didn't realize the one guy that they were talking about, he played in that show. Do you remember the TV show Head of the Class? Did you ever see it? Where
I heard of it. Guy I never
from,
watched it.
That was Johnny Fever from WKRP in Cincinnati. He was the teacher. It was all the smart kids. It was like they were like the gifted students, and he was just a regular.
I saw the dirty version Head in the Class.
No, not that one.
But the only thing I know from WKRYK or whatever is my sister makes me watch this clip every Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's Thanksgiving.
Like, I swear to God, I thought turkeys could fly.
As God is my witness.
As God is my witness, yep.
But the guy who played, well, the other movie was in when I made you watch Dr. Detroit.
Yes.
The original pimp that makes him the patsy. Yeah,
I know him.
So that's the guy that was in Head of the Class. Well, anyway, one of the students was heavier set kid. Mm-hmm. That's the one that ended up becoming that major like producer and stuff for all the Nickelodeon stuff. I'm like, that was him? I was like, really? I didn't realize the connection. But yeah, it's a, and it's that a guy was messed doing up some series, man.
Stuff with like 15-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's like kind of
without
like,
saying
now it shines light on why Amanda Bynes is freaking crazy.
Yeah. Or Ariana Grande when she was on the Nickelodeon, she was just like leaning in the bed pouring water all over. I was like, who the thought that was a good, who signed off on it besides this fat pervert? Like, somebody, like, isn't standards and practices around in the 90s? They should have been.
What was the other thing they had her do with, like,
something about
like,
her feet?
No, it was opening something. She had this thing. It was like milking a potato.
Yeah.
And she's like, it just won't come out. And she's doing this. It's like, really, it's weird. And, and the people who were doing the commentary in the documentary, they're like, who didn't realize that this was not disgusting or something like, along
those lines? What censor didn't look at this and say, no?
Yeah.
That's who I want. Yeah. I want to know what censor said, yeah, this is good. Yeah.
I could only ruin my childhood for so much at one time, so I've only seen the first episode. but they had two writers on there from All That, and they were explaining how messed up that was.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had one girl that was on All That, but when Amanda Bynes came in, she got kicked out of the picture.
Wait until you watch the one. It's it was something in Cody or Cody and something. It was a show in Nickelodeon.
Zach and Cody, I think.
It might have been that one, but it was the two boys. And so one of them, they do the story on him. It's a whole episode of him and another guy. It wasn't the same one from the first episode, but he was involved in Nickelodeon stuff. And he ends up becoming infatuated with the one kid. Well, his father, the kid's father, was the manager of him. And so this guy was the producer of Nickelodeon or whatever he did, I can't remember. He was basically in the kid's ear all the time. Like, he was very close to him. And the father's like, you know, don't be touching him like that. It's weird. He was trying to warn the kid. And he convinced him to fire his father as his manager. And they become kind of estranged and everything. Well, anyway, he ended up sexually assaulting the kid multiple times.
Oh.
And, you know, into that point where, you know, he was like kind of trapped in there because, you know, he's on the show. He's making money. So he didn't really know what to do. And then, like, he ended up getting a girlfriend, the kid did, and, like, the dude would call him up at his girlfriend's house, or his girlfriend's mom's house, you know, because he's younger, and he's like, hey, you know, we're going here. He's like, no, I'm hanging out with my girlfriend. He's like, no, we're supposed to be at this place. You're supposed to be with me, blah, blah, blah. And so they finally started to realize, hey, this is a little off. So anyway, he went to the police, filed the big report thing, went to court, and he's like, and the kid was like, it was horrible because the kid's like, you know, on my side, it was just like, you know, my mom and my dad, and on his side, it was like all these people from Nickelodeon supporting him. And he's like, so anyway, he ended up getting whatever he got. And
a slap on the wrist, basically.
Yeah, but he never told his father about it because his father was always hugely concerned that he would, something like that would happen. And he called his father up, like, after he's like, hey, Dad, you hear, you know, they finally got him, you know, they got him. And he's like, oh, thank God. He's like, well, thank God he never, you know, got his hands on you. And so then he had to, you know, tell his father, and it's like, such a horrible. So I'm like, you guys are sick and twisted. But just again, it's a docuseries, but it is under one umbrella of documentary. So that's why I wanted to bring it up. But that's it. It's twisted, but it's very interesting. I think even
someone on Facebook likened they put the Nickelodeon logo next to Epstein's Island.
Oh.
And it looks identical. Like the splat of Nickelodeon was like a mirror image of Epstein's Island.
Oh, nice.
Damn. I will say, though, I got a little bored the other day and started rewatching Silicon Valley.
That doesn't sound like you.
Just because I love
Gilmore. Were you bored or were you hungover?
Good question. A little bit of
both, and also a little high, but still.
And a little high.
I watched a couple of episodes of Silicon Valley, and in the pilot, they're walking up to the Hulu business, and I'm 90% sure that's the old Nickelodeon building that they're just using for an exterior shot.
It might be.
Yeah.
The one from Universal?
The one out in California.
California.
Yeah. Like, it used to be multicolored and wacky, crazy shit. And they redid it in, like, the mid-2000s.
Universal Orlando had one, too.
Yeah.
When they had the Nickelodeon park there. It's like a Woody the Woodpecker or something now.
But no, I mean, their actual, like, office building from back in the day.
Oh, gotcha.
So after they cleaned it up, Silicon Valley, I'm 90% sure they're using that video, that building as, like, an external shot of that company.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Indeed.
But other than that, I've basically just been kind of going back and watching just random stuff, not for any purpose. Yeah. You know, like Lean On Me, go back and watch that again. What was the one I put it on the other day. I'm trying to remember what it was now because I remember I was like, I haven't seen this in forever. Turned it on as I was getting ready for bed. Fell asleep during it, obviously, because I knew the movie. Woke up, I'm like, oh, let me restart because it was on the weekend. And then started watching, and I was like, oh, I need to start cleaning up. So then start cleaning up, so I left it on in the background. But then I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot that happened. So I had to go back and restart it again that afternoon. I think I finally finished it after 4 days completely. And I'm trying to think of which movie that was that I did that to.
Flashdance.
No, it wasn't Flashdance. Although Flashdance is a very good movie.
Striptease.
What was it? What was it, Patrick?
I don't know.
Come on, now tell me.
Yeah, is it not on your phone?
Hellraiser 3.
It might have been the Hellraisers.
I did watch Hellraiser. I think it was 3 that I watched.
Maybe
was it the new Roadhouse?
No, it was not the new. I did not watch the new Roadhouse.
I didn't watch the new Roadhouse.
Was it Argyle?
I didn't want to talk about it because it sucked.
No, it wasn't Argyle. It should be the section on recently watched.
Yeah, well, you've already viewed. Said you didn't watch Crocodile Dundee 2. Discovery was you. Braveheart?
Wasn't Braveheart.
Zach and Miri Make a Porno?
That wasn't me. I know exactly who that was. That was Steven Patton. Because they love that movie.
Another Star Trek movie.
That was me.
Attack on Titan. That was me. Seth MacFarlane's Cavalcade of...
I've already seen that. That wasn't it. That was him
showing us.
Yeah.
Jay and Silent Bob.
The reboot?
Jay and Silent Bob. Yep.
Yep, that was the one.
Okay.
I was like, I know it's in there somewhere. But it was like one of those movies because, you know, I do enjoy the reboot, but what you guys got to watch too, and I actually watched it afterwards, was I think you can find it on, I want to say it's still on Tubi or one other one. It might even be on Max. It's called Magnus Opus, and it's the documentary of the making of Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Oh.
But it's actually really cool. So definitely give that a watch.
Oh, I've seen the movie, the reboot, and I still laugh thinking about that scene where they're trying to figure out how to get a ride, and it's like Operation Pedophile. Okay. So she lures someone there from like Craigslist, and like,
oh, the daughter. Yeah.
And Jason Mewes like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, he ends up beating the guy down.
And then, you know, I went and watched Yoga Hosers.
Nah.
Just because that movie's solid.
Well, I also like too when they get they don't call it Uber, but they call it something else.
Yeah,
whatever it's called, like
Perm Finder or something.
No, for when they're actually getting the Uber ride, but it's not Uber. It's called something. Ride Me Now.
Okay.
That's what it's called. It's called Ride Me Now. And so it's the one driver, and he's like, "What is that?" He's like, "Is that marijuana?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You're so brave."
It's Speaking of which, that is now on the Florida ballot for November recreation. Yeah, okay.
Is it number 3? Was it number 3?
This is
Amendment 3 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, the Supreme Court is allowing it to be on the ballot in November.
Okay.
If it passes, it'll take place in May of 2025.
Okay. So for all you potheads out there, weed heads,
yeah,
or just weed lovers, I am not one of them, but yeah, for all the rest of you out there, Good luck to you,
Mazel Tov. The other 90% of us out there.
Mazel Tov. Remember, puff, puff, pass.
Yeah.
You know about that, too? No, but I passed.
You're so brave.
He's so brave.
He's so brave for smoking a joint. Meanwhile, while I hit my bong, I'm an idiot.
So on Amazon, I went back and watched the ride-alongs.
Okay.
Because I think the first one was on there free, and I went to look for the second one, and it wasn't on there for free, so I just bought it for like $4.
Yeah. There is a movie I'm thinking about. I don't know why, but the other day I really wanted to watch the movie Law Abiding Citizen because I love that movie. I think it's a great movie. I think it's one of Gerard Butler's best. And I was like, where can I find it? They're like, well, it's on Hulu. Like, well, fuck that. Or you can buy it. Like, I genuinely might buy it. I don't know.
I genuinely might buy that.
But if you haven't seen that movie is fantastic.
Is that on Netflix or
no?
No, it's not. You looked?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Well, good for you, Marty.
Yeah,
that's what I want to rewatch.
Flex, not Law Abiding.
Primal Fear?
Ooh.
Primal Fear, I may have to pull that one out. For those of you who've not seen Primal Fear, it is Richard Gere and Edward Norton.
So, I've never seen the movie, but I do know the twist ending.
Yeah, so Edward Norton he's like an altar boy type person or works in a church, but the one priest gets killed and he's a suspect of the murder and he's like this very off kemp, like he has a stutter and he talks quiet. He's
very submissive, Mr. Vale.
And so Richard Gere is his lawyer, but he's a big wig lawyer. Like he wins every case. Richard Gere does, but he sees this case and he takes it pro bono for him.
Mm.
And so basically,
he's basically come off as a schizophrenic.
Yeah, schizophrenic or split personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or associative personality disorder or dissociative personality disorder. And he finds out throughout the movie that at a certain point, if he gets him really upset, he turns into this other person, this other personality who's kind of like this very straight, you know, tough person. He's basically whatever happened to him as a kid, he was like molested by these priests and stuff, or stuff happened to him as a kid and whatnot. And then so that's why he killed the priest. But it was his alter ego of Roy. It was his alter ego. And Roy is like just, you know, the tough guy that's his protector. He comes out when he needs him. So they're, you know, go through the trial and he basically gets him off on, you know, mentally disturbed, you know.
Yeah. So,
and then, go ahead.
This movie came out in 1996 and we are about to tell you the twist ending. So
don't blame me.
Yeah.
So at the end of it, he's talking to him in the jail, because he's still in his jail cell because he's going to have to do his time in the institution, but he's not going to go to prison. And he's talking to him, and Richard Gere says something, but then as he was walking away, or he said something to Richard Gere, and it triggers him as he's walking away. He's like, wait a second. He should know that because the other personality talks like that. So he walks back over. He's like, what did you say? And then it's a beautiful scene the way they do it, because it's just a close-up of his hands, Edward Norton's hands. He's just clapping. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, good for you, Marty. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. So he explains to him, you know, that he knew what he was doing the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, so there never was. Do you remember what the other, his actual, what he was supposed to be? That character's name?
No, I know. Well, but yeah,
so you're saying there never was
Roy.
Yeah, he's like, so there never was this. He's like, no. He's like, are you that stupid, Marty? He's like, there never was a Roy.
Yeah.
He just adopted that name for the personality. So, but he's already gotten him off, so there's nothing he could do because of the way the law is.
Can't claim mistrial if you were the one defending them.
And I love it, too, because it kind of reminds you of the scene at the end of Unbreakable when he finds out about Samuel L. Jackson as he just walks away and he's like talking to him real loud.
Yeah.
That's kind of what scene is, because Marty, once he realizes all this stuff, he's just like, oh no, what did I do? And he just walks off and he's like, come on, man. He's like, you and me.
We got to celebrate.
He's like, it was like a dance, man. Yeah. You should have seen yourself out there. And he's just yelling and he walks off and he's just yelling at him about how, you know, basically he fooled him into it. But it's such a cool little ending too. So
yeah.
Great twist.
Like the Matrix, there is no spoon. In Primal Fear, there was no Roy.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go with that.
So you don't try and bend the Roy. You just have to realize that there is no Roy.
But we are coming up. We only got a couple minutes left. So just want to just recap with everybody again. Thank you, Nick, for joining us last week. And for those of you who have any other questions, if you want to reach out, we can send you his email if you want to reach out to him. Or if you're a filmmaker out in L.A. and want to collaborate on something, let us know.
Or anywhere.
or anywhere, really, because people can travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, thank you guys for joining us, talking what we've watched. It's just a random what we watched movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Movie episode. But again,
it's catching up on us.
Yes.
The good thing about movies is there's a trillion of them out there. So.
Yeah.
Even, like, at some point, if we talked about every movie in the world, we can go back to Albert and Costello.
Yeah.
Abbott.
Abbott
and Costello. Abbott, yeah. All right, I didn't want to correct that one. I'm just trying to let it go.
It hurt me. It hurt me in
but
my soul.
Guys, also don't remember, check us out on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check us out on all the listening platforms, Spotify, Anchor,
and Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts.
That's great.
Yeah, we only have one more week of a regular episode, and then... in the second weekend on starting the 26th. We'll be there on the 25th for the red carpet, but 26th through the 28th, we will be at Sunscreen Film Festival doing a lot of interviews, getting to meet people. We'll be posting up some Instagram reels live while we're doing it, because as we record everything, it'll come out later in the episode. So check us out there. Go to our website, movietalkschill.com. You can also find a link to the Sunscreen Film Festival if you still have information you want to get to them. Or just look them up on their Facebook page or sunscreen.com. And then also, they are still selling tickets, so get your tickets because they run out quick. Get your VIP passes. Yep. Those get you into all the events, everything. All the workshops, all the after parties. Just remember, any of the movies or workshops, it is first come, first serve. So
yes.
If you want to see something that's coming up that you really are interested in, get there at the beginning, you know, right when... a little bit before it's about to start. And then also on their Facebook page, they have, and on their website, they also have a listing of what the schedule looks like and what blocks
and
are coming
out. And I just want to throw this, as much information we have and as much information as we're telling you, we are nowhere near sponsored by Sunscreen Film Festival.
No. But we are the official podcast.
Yes.
For the Sunscreen Film Festival. Yes, we are partners with them. It's just a good thing. You know, yeah. We talk about it all the time, but you know, it's just a fun thing. Yes. We're synergizing.
So we will see you there, or we will see you another time.
Wait, I don't know what that means.
Are you coming? Are you coming?
So come on out to Sunscreen. Check us out on all the platforms. This episode will come out this Wednesday. But until then, for Movie Talks and Chill, we're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
All your legs have been chained together. But I'm Patrick Paul.
All right, guys.
See
take care.
Gentlemen.
Don't forget, guys, you can visit us at our website, movietalksandchill.com. Email us at talktous@movietalksandchill.com or find us on our YouTube channel.
You can also follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Movie Talks and Chill.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast.
New episodes available every Wednesday. Talk to you then. Theme music for our podcast was composed, arranged, and performed by Paul the Rock.